Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is, and we're having a good party today here on a Thursday. Come out, hang out. We're up in Tomball at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Big shout-out to Bud Light for making this happen. We've already given away two $25 gift cards, and we got a couple more giveaways. The big one in the 5 o'clock hour, it is two tickets and two wristbands, which the wristbands are for the Bud Light tailgate, which I have not been to the Bud Light tailgate, but I would imagine that it's next level. If you like to drink cold beer, you like to prep for a football game and tailgate, I would imagine it's about as good as you can get. So the tickets to the Jacksonville Jaguar game, which, by the way, it's looking like Jacksonville, well, nobody in this division is started very hot. Everybody's 0-2 except for the Texans, which is a beautiful thing. But we'll see. Is that next week? Is that next week or 2 weeks from now? When do we come back?
I think it is next week.
Is it next week or 2 weeks? Next week, Jacksonville. So that Jacksonville game, two tickets, two Bud Light tailgate passes as well. That's big time. And then we've also got, when are we giving away that chair over there, Ron?
4 o'clock hour, coming up in this hour.
And this is this is one of them old school lawn chairs. I don't know. Some of our listeners, or younger listeners, probably ain't never seen one of them old, the woven style lawn chairs. That's what old mom and dad used to sit out in the front yard. Yeah, they sat out in the front yard on Park Street drinking cold beer, broad daylight, everybody passing by to see them. Next thing you know, I'd come home from practice, there'd be four or five people in this, sitting on a church pew drinking cold beer in the front yard, smoking cigarettes, Marlboro Reds. But anyway, that's the kind of, if they weren't sitting on that church pew, they were sitting in them in them chairs like that right there. So it's a lawn chair. By the way, it's River Depth. What, River Depth, right?
Is that what you call that?
Yeah, because you get in the Guadalupe, you get in the Comal, you get in one of them rivers up there in the hill country, you don't want to be sitting in a tall chair. You want that chair to have you want your ass in the water. So if the water's not deep enough, which nowadays up there, you don't ever know how deep the water's going to be, you got to get good and down in it. So it's one of them short chairs, and it's got a cooler attached to the bottom of it with a great handle, by the way. Great handle on the back of that that lawn chair. Coming from a guy that's married and has two daughters, I got to carry everything every time we go to the river or we go on vacation. That little black handle on the back of that lawn chair would be clutch in that situation. So we're going to give that away here coming up as well. So come on out and hang out with us. Again, big shout out to Bud Light for making all that happen. Big shout out, by the way, to Buffalo Wild Wings as well for hosting us every Thursday for Thirsty Thursday. Ron, there was a lot of change. Not change. Let's say there's a lot of ads this offseason. With this football team, a lot of win now moves were made, and clearly they're winning now. 2-0. We've yet to see A+ football from the Texans. We've yet to see the best version of the Texans, but they're 2-0, and it's a beautiful thing. On the defensive side of the football, you've got a second round rookie that's starting at corner. You've got a one of the best pass rushing defensive ends in the entire NFL in Danielle Hunter. That was added. You've got a middle linebacker that's a tackling machine in Azeez Al-Shaair that was added.
He played his ass off Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did, which I don't know about y'all, but I greatly appreciate that little scuffle on the sideline, and I greatly appreciate him standing up and giving that old boy one piece, just real quick.
If you can get a one piece and stay in the game, man.
Yeah, he didn't get a penalty, so I can't hate him for that. That ended up working out just beautifully for us. But anyway, they added him. Kalen Bullock, a third-round draft pick, is getting a lot of run at the safety position as well. But they also, Ron, made one move, which last year was interesting. Jalen Petrie, a local kid from Stafford, played at Baylor, a guy that's easy to love, easy to like, easy to root for, and you want to see him do well. Had a great year under Lovie Smith, and then D'Amico Ryans comes in, and it looks like he's going to have a promising year, and he ends up essentially being benched. And everybody wonders, like, what in the world is going on with Jalen Petrie? How are they going to make this right? So D'Amico Ryans takes Jalen Petrie and makes him a nickel defender, which means he's a cover defender. He's ultimately a safety, but he's playing at linebacker depth, which is a beautiful, beautiful play for him because he can play with all of his instincts. Now he can be a great tackler. He can rush the passer. He flashes big time for all of us fans every time we watch. And Five had a hell of a game last week, and in fact one of the biggest, I don't know if it's the biggest play, but I know that at least the loudest play that's made the most noise since the game was a hit that he had on Cole Kmet, the tight end for the Bears. Here's how it sounded.
First down from the Chicago 30. Punch formation right. Caleb Williams in the gun with one back. Swift. Here's the snap. Here's the pass to Swift. And he's knocked down by Petrie. What a blast in the backfield.
Yeah. You know when Andre grunts a little bit, those are his old quarterback days. Like, oh, God, that hurt him just a little bit. But, Jay, the penalty flag was thrown. They quickly picked it up. It was not a penalty, a roughing penalty, a defenseless receiver, a hit to the head. It was none of that. It was just a good old clean football hit that you really don't see much anymore in football. But it was just a clean hit that was nasty. And, he had one hell of a game. Ron, and let's hear from Cole Kmet about that. The actual tight end, I guess he has a podcast.
Why not?
Let's see how that hit felt to the actual recipient, Cole Kmet.
I did try to sell it for a little bit because it wasn't like a head-to-head thing, but, I mean, he got me clean. That was a clean hit.
Yeah.
And then got to the ground, and I did have to take a second because I was like, whew, man, that was quite the hit there. And they did throw the flag initially, then they ended up picking it back up. But
to answer your question, somebody would have had to probably carry me to the plane. to get home. That was a good hit.
It was a good hit. It was a clean hit.
Cole, where does that rank as far as hardest hits you've taken in your career?
That's probably the hardest. Now, that being said, I was like fully relaxed. Not that I wasn't expecting it, but I was more focused on catching the football. So like you're not like tensing your body up.
The hardest hit of his career came from about what's Petrie's? He about 5'10", 5'11", about a buck 80. Buck 85.
Probably a little bit more than that. Maybe
that big Nick energy.
Yeah, maybe 190, 200.
I say all that and play all that audio to set the table, man. I'm some of these moves that D'Amico Ryan's made, obviously Danielle Hunter and Azeez Al-Shaair, they were proven players when they got here. The two rookies, I think they're going to be good. We'll see. The jury's still out on those guys. But one thing that I think was a little bit of a roll of the dice, but has ended up being a big-time move, and I've seen enough. I'm convinced this is the right move, and this dude's going to be a difference maker for the Texans at the nickel defender position, is that move of taking Jalen Petrie from safety and putting him at nickel defender where he can play with those instincts, Ron. I'm convinced not only is that a hell of a move, but it's going to be a big-time – he's going to be a big-time playmaker down there for him moving
forward. You're convinced?
Convinced. I'm there. I'm convinced.
I'm not – listen, I am convinced that is the best spot for him to be. I don't think he's at his best as a deep safety. The only thing is we just have not seen him being forced to cover yet. And that was always the question. Everything he's doing, the physicality, what he can do at the line of scrimmage, his blitzing, those were all the reasons why we wanted him to potentially play closer.
Yep.
We still have not seen the Bears or the Colts attack him in the passing game. We've not had him, you know, seen anything similar to – I don't mean it. I feel bad we bring this cat up, but Tavier Thomas in the slot just getting, you know, just getting the
barbecue chicken.
But that's barbecue brisket. Like I told you, that was barbecue. that was barbecue brisket. That was a special piece of meat right there, baby. That was Angus. The way they was getting him. That's the only thing is, and I'm not sure if we'll see it today. And on Sunday, and there may be a thing of D'Amico completely scheming it to where he doesn't have to do it. I think it's hard. I see him more covering running backs out of the backfield and things of that nature. We'll see. But I still think at some point, some coordinator or offensive coach is going to find a match him up to get him with receivers in the slot. And to me, that is going to be the point where, you know, I think we can full, at least for me, can fully say, yes, that is a huge, huge move. Thus far, they've allowed him to play the position at his strengths and not have to really go out and
look. I feel really good about it, and here's why. Because the Bears, there's not going to be a game this year where the Texans pressure more than they did against the Bears. I don't think probably won't be a game where they even get remotely close.
You don't think they'll try to let Sam see some ghosts again this week?
No. They may try initially, but I don't think there's going to be a game the rest of the year where there's a young quarterback that gets overwhelmed with an offensive line that can't protect. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it happens 10 more times, but I don't think they're going to see that scenario many more times, especially with this schedule. If they were playing that last play schedule, yeah, then sure that we may see that. But with this schedule, you're not going to be able to get away with it. To your point, but you were able to pressure and play a lot of man defense, and there was never a time where Jalen Petrie was even in harm's way. There was never a time when hey, man, they got him on a receiver, and that receiver's open, and the quarterback just overthrew. There was never even a time where you lost sleep about it. So I'm convinced. I'm comfortable with being convinced that move is good. Like I said, I love the Danielle Hunter move. I love the Azeez Al-Shaair move. Those are game-changing moves. You knew they were going to be okay. I like Kalen Bullock. We'll see what happens there. The corner, Kamari Lassiter. I'm good with where he's at, but the lockdown thing and the stats that are going around and that are building him up to be this lockdown corner. I'm not quite there yet, but love what I've seen from him. Love what I've seen from Kalen Bullock as well. Hey, we every Monday and Wednesday we hear from D'Amico Rines, and what I love to hear D'Amico Rines, and even Nick Caserio on Texans All Access does a really good job of it. But D'Amico Rines breaking down the opponent that week a little bit early on, and D'Amico typically does it from the defensive side of the football, so he's talking about the offense. So, Ron, I want to bring that to the people. Ultimately, he's asked about Sam Darnold, but he goes into the overall Minnesota offense. And this is really, as a fan, this is what we're up against this week with Kevin O'Connell, the head coach and the offensive play caller for the Minnesota Vikings. Here's D'Amico Rines talking about their offense.
Sam has done a great job really being efficient in the offense. He's taking what defenses gives him, right? And you could tell that Kevin has kind of slowed it down for him, simplified it for him to where he got a lot of easy looks, right? And he's getting the ball out on screens, quick game, boots. Like, it's a lot of short passes that he's getting it out on, but then you also have to deal with 18 down the field, which is – so Kevin has done a good job of mixing up the offense, right, a ton of different looks. One thing that stuck out is they run the ball really well these first 2 weeks. I think that's what's kept them balanced throughout the games. They've ran the ball well, and they've also won on their third down. They've been really well staying on the field. They've been – executing on third down, which has allowed them to sustain some long drives.
There's a lot there, but I think the picture that he painted of the Minnesota Vikings offense is really solid, right? You've got and that's the simplicity of it, Ron, is the beautiful part of it, right? Is they are really good at the screen game, some of the different run game inside. They're having some success with it, but you also have to worry about Jordan Jefferson down the field, right? There's certain teams that make offensive football so damn difficult that your quarterback can't even call the play in the huddle. Your quarterback can't wrap his head around it. And then there's some teams that just go, hey, this game is not that difficult. Let's spread defenses out sideline to sideline, make defenses defend you sideline to sideline, and then we've got one guy out wide that can beat you over the top if you get too nosy from the safety position or the corner position or anything like that. And that's exactly who Minnesota is. Keep it simple, stupid, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. That's exactly what I would hope to accomplish if I were ever an offensive coach. Keep it simple, stupid, spread them out sideline to sideline, and if they get too nosy, hit them with Justin Jefferson over the top. That's breaking it way down, obviously, but that's what the Minnesota Vikings bring to the table, and that's what D'Amico Rines is up against this week.
Yeah, and I think a big point about it, if you missed it with Mario Edwards Jr., he joined us earlier in the show. I think a lot of this starts with they have been able to run the football to start this thing off. And that opens up and puts defenses on their heels and has put the 49ers, who have a great defense and great players out there, put them on their heels because Aaron Jones and that offensive line have been able to run the football and can dictate things. Like on the big play, the 97-yard touchdown to Jefferson, I believe, comes off a play action that is sold more because they're able to run the football. And then they hit Jefferson behind, and, of course, he gets the ball in his hands and he makes plays. So
yep.
That's why I loved hearing that from Mario Edwards is, hey, we gotta be big time and aggressive up front in the front four. We got to stop the run and get pressure. But stopping the run, Aaron Jones is very, very important. And I think that's led to the Texans' success thus far this year. They have stopped the run and forced these other quarterbacks. And I think Sam Darnold fits into you'd rather this game be on Sam Darnold's arm. Like, in your terms, you'd rather it be on Sam Darnold's arm, just like you'd rather it be in Caleb. and you'd rather be in Richardson.
Yeah, and look, their hope is that their defense can keep it from being on Sam Darnold's arm and keep their offense in rhythm. Look, week one, they play the New York Giants. I said this when we played them in the preseason. That is hands down the worst team in the NFL. I don't give a damn what happens. There's no doubt about it. That is going to be the
worst. You've seen the Carolina Panthers.
No,
the Carolina Panthers are worse than the Giants.
The Giants are worse. They've got a quarterback that they're paying $45 million a year to, and he's worse than Bryce Worth.
Maybe they're in a bit.
They're worse.
He's still playing.
What makes it worse is they've already invested in a quarterback. And on national TV, they talked about letting Saquon Barkley leave because they wanted to change their identity, and then this is the identity they go with.
They lost on the last second.
I don't give a damn. The Giants are the worst
the
team
Panthers
in the league.
The Panthers have got trounced.
I mean, this evolved into a Giants versus Panthers. That's a good call. Nonetheless, the point is made. The Giants suck, right?
They suck. But we'll agree there.
The week two win, Minnesota Vikings versus the San Francisco 49ers, now without Christian McCaffrey, but they win 23-17. Sam Darnold throws for 270, and they win a game that they ultimately preseason had no business winning. So big win last week from the Minnesota Vikings. They'll be on cloud nine with the Texans coming to their place Sunday. The Texans are going to have their hands full. C.J. Stroud, we're going to see A-plus from C.J. Stroud, and we're damn sure going to see, as we just got through hearing from D'Amico Ryans, that defense is going to have to continue to roll as well.
That's right. All right, coming up as we continue live here from Buffalo Wild Wings here in Tomball, the lineup is out, and there is one major missing piece out of the Astros lineup. You see that tease? You see how she checked up and looked? She said, what the hell? There's one major missing piece from the lineup for the Astros today. We'll share that with you as we continue riding along here on The Drive live. Stay with us and come on out, hang out, win some prizes as well here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Tomball as The Drive continues.
It's a thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. The Drive is live. Make some noise out here, man. It's a good crowd out here. There we go. Yeah, good people out here having a good time out here.
Tyler don't make a little noise
Tyler's
back at the house.
To it. Tyler's at the studio making noise, but we appreciate you guys jumping in. He got that H-Town Blue jersey right there on him. Get that Stroud jersey on there. There you go. Got the shoes to match too. He really carefully put that outfit together. But we appreciate you all coming out and more. More
no,
can come
ain't
out.
No sidewinders.
No, they ain't. They ain't. I don't know people who wear sidewinders. Except Larry. No, I don't. Never had them on. But anyway, come on out. There's more room. You can come and hang out. And after this segment ends, our third prize, we will hook somebody up with that lawn chair that also has a cooler connected to it, courtesy of Bud Light. So make sure you get it in right now. If you have just walked in and you did not put your name in a raffle box, you might want to do that right now to give yourself a chance to win, because you got about roughly less than 10 minutes or so before that gets given out. All right, I do want to pay this off here. The Astros lineup is out. And right off the bat, there's no Altuve in the lineup today. He is off today. He was just the DH yesterday as Dubon played second base. Dubon's going to be in at second again today. Bregman is going to lead off playing third base with Alvarez in left field for second straight day. Tucker is back in the lineup in three spot where I like him. Diaz is in the four spot, right? Don't you think that it should come in that way, the lineup, where when Altuve comes back, they just bump everybody down and Yiner Diaz is in the five spot? Doesn't it feel like that should be the route it is? They've tried to, it seems like, put Yiner either in the three or the four spot in front of Tucker. I think right now, especially them swings he took in the eighth inning, right now it feels like it should go Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Tucker, and then Diaz. They've had Diaz in the three spot right behind. It seems like they've wanted Diaz right behind Yordan, and I think that should be reserved for Kyle Tucker. Anyway, my
well, you're going to mess around and piss off some of these old purists, man. Right, left, right, left, right, left, man.
Yeah.
That's the only justification for why you would do it the way they have done it since Tucker's been back. I mean, absolutely. I mean, Bregman's done his best work in a two-hole. Altuve's obviously your leadoff. Alvarez has made comments about wanting to see more pitches before that first at bat. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I watched Altuve swung at the first pitch. He stood in the box and had seen one pitch from the pitcher, which I wouldn't give a rip about other than he actually said he would rather see more pitches. So I like moving Alvarez back to the three hole. And obviously, Tucker's not going to bat behind Diaz, so I'd go Tucker Diaz. Absolutely. That'd be my top five. Do what you want with the bottom. I don't care. The bottom four, do what you want. But those top five would be like that.
Yeah, boy. Like I said the other day, when they had Bregman on the on-deck circle and it was less than two outs with a chance to take the lead and a runner on third base, first and third, and Diaz was up there and no swings, he just didn't have a prayer. And you just know in crucial situations, at least those other guys you're going to get. Now, it may come to him anyway, but that's fine. But those other guys, you know you're going to get quality at bat.
I don't want to get too far off the weeds. I know you're going somewhere with that. But there is, like, to me, I'm a Yiner Diaz fan. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But Yiner Diaz is really one of just a couple of guys in this lineup that he can get overwhelmed.
Or anxious, like
to me, it seems overwhelmed. I mean, it's not on like a Jake Meyers level, but they're like when you get one of these top pitchers up there that's got his stuff, you know, you look at the old veterans. I mean, you look at Howard and you know, just some of the different guys they brought through here that are veterans, and while they may struggle, they don't just look overwhelmed. And there's like Yiner at times against top tier pitching. Has the ability, and I'm not even talking about the chasing the bad pitches. I'm just talking about looking overwhelmed at the plate at times. And so hopefully he can clean that up.
Yeah, it seems like to me he's trying to do too much in those moments. Like he is so amped to try to get the big hit, mm-hmm. and doesn't just find himself chasing and doing stuff like that. So, but he is in the four spot. Pena's behind him in the five spot. And then Caratini is catching tonight with Diaz being the DH tonight. So Caratini's in the lineup. Big John Singleton's at first base again. And then Jake Meyers in center with Dubon playing in second base. And that this is a Kikuchi night.
Who?
Kikuchi.
Oh.
It's Kikuchi night. That's the latest. Tyler during the break.
Yeah, that's right. No, I say Tyler.
Kikuchi. I think it's interesting, Tyler, during the break, Clint Sterner had no idea that Daniel Jones had pulled off Kay Adams.
I don't still believe it.
And I mean,
I still don't believe it.
No clue. He's been looking it up.
I don't believe it.
She has come out openly and said it.
She said,
please protect my boyfriend.
Protect my boyfriend. That's almost like it's a joke going around, and I want you to protect my boyfriend.
It seems like you want it to be a joke.
Do you hear Taylor Swift talking about y'all protect Kelsey?
Just because Taylor and Kate.
Nobody says that.
Taylor don't talk every day. Taylor don't talk every day about Travis. She's talking every day.
Nobody in their right mind talks about protecting my boyfriend.
You know who she is? She's Mrs. Jones. That's who Kay is.
No way.
Yeah, baby. Yeah,
I can't believe he pulled that off.
Go ahead, Daniel. I don't know what he did. Because you're right. I mean, I guess when he combs his hair right, maybe he's attractive. I'm not.
He's an attractive dude, relatively speaking.
Hey,
he's successful.
He pulled it off because many of these athletes shot with Kay Adams.
Oh, the rounds she makes at the training
camps,
I would imagine they all are.
With Kay Adams.
I bet some of the head coaches have shot shots.
Hell yeah, and I bet you. And you know it's somebody more high profile than Dan Jones. And I bet Dan got that mouthpiece, Tyler.
No.
And it's that sneaky mouthpiece that you don't know is coming, and the next thing you know, you're sitting there and you're just smitten.
Dan's got one thing working for him. Well, big, good-looking dude with money. Exclude those. He got that real – take-you-home-to-mama vibe.
Yeah. And he uses that mouthpiece to pull it off.
When my daughter ever brings somebody home, I hope it's a Daniel Jones kind of dude. Got a lot of money, good looking.
People texting in $45 million, baby. Now I'm telling you, there have been people with more money who has taken.
Kay's not like that.
I bet you Kay ain't far off from 45.
And hers is going to be a little bit more sustainable.
Yeah, she's going to be able to sustain.
She's going to be able to do this for the next 25, 30 years. Kay Adams will be. good for him.
I don't think that's the real deal.
It's the real, Tyler. It's the real deal. Because you just don't have to accept it. Shout out to Kay Adams.
I need more proof than protect my boyfriend when she's talking to somebody.
Yeah. Oh, Daniel Jones is up in Adams all right. Good for him, Dan. Good for you, man. I'm so proud of Dan. He may not play worth a damn on the field, and he's going to get his ass kicked every single week, and he's about to get Brian Daboll fired here in the next several weeks. But good for him. So proud of him. God, he pulled it off. He did something. He turned that New York Giants quarterback thing into something else. See, I don't think he pulls off Kay Adams if he's the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback. I guess Joe Burrow could probably pull up.
And I think she's a big Bengals fan, by
is
the
she?
Way.
Damn
so,
it.
So you picked the one team. You picked the one team.
Check that. He would pull this off if he's a Carolina Panthers quarterback, not just living in Charlotte. All right, coming up, we're going to hook somebody up with our latest prize. Some news here coming from the University of Texas, their quarterback situation. Arch Manning's going to get to start. Is he going to hold this job from Quinn? Quinn going to get his job back? That's coming up. And a little something with the Texans and the division. As they are 2-0 and the rest of the division is winless, we'll discuss those thoughts coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, there it is, The Drive here coming up. Two more things to hook people up with your chance to win. A courtesy of Bud Light, a lounge chair with a cooler attached, and the big one in the 5 o'clock hour. After the second, I'll say it right now, after the second segment, yeah, try it out, man. After the second segment in the 5 o'clock hour, after that segment ends, after the second segment, we will hook somebody up with those tickets. So stay tuned with us. Come on in. You got to be in here to get them. You got to. He's going to sign it up for you. You got to be in here to get them. Sign them up. Throw them in that raffle. Two tickets to the Jags and Texans game, and it includes a Bud Light wristband. Wristband. Could pull that off.
There you go.
Bud Light wristband for tailgating. Free drinks, free food as well.
Bring on the Jaguars.
Coming up in a couple of weeks, so you can fill your name out, put yourself in a spot to win that in our raffle coming up after the second segment in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, Clint and Tyler, those of you on the text line as well, you can chime in on this. The Texans, as we know right now, sit here at 2-0 in the division right now, and as we said earlier this week, Tyler's right on us. Right on his way in his belief that they are going to just run away with this thing games as they're 2-0. And the rest of the division right now is 0-2. As the Titans, they've choked away. Check that. Will Levis has choked away a couple of games here to get them winless, as well as Trevor Lawrence.
He can't play them in a horror movie.
There you go. And the Jags, they've lost their first two. And the Texans have a win over the Colts, and then the Colts lost to Green Bay, so they're 0-2. And I'd like to throw out to the people, 713-572-4610. Those of you here in Buffalo Wild Wings, you can think about it too. YouTube and Twitch, Clint and Tyler as well. As they sit 2-0, after the first couple of weeks, which team that's 0-2 do you get the sense will be the team that the Texans potentially have to hold off to win the AFC South? Who is it the first couple of weeks? As we said, they're all 0-2. But who is it that you think the Texans will initially have to hold off to win this division? My man right here in front of us, he just mouthed to me the Colts. He thinks it's the Colts after the first 2 weeks. You saw them. They did play you tight. Like, we do understand that thing could have gone either way if they could connect on some of those down-the-field plays, you know, that may have gone a different way. Do you sense it is the Colts right now as the team that the Texans may have to hold off?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to jump off that thought that the Colts are the number two team in this division.
You've said it. You said you feel like Shane Steichen wishes he had that game back.
Yeah, look, I just think it's a different ball game if you protect your quarterback a bit. He called plays in that game as if he had a quarterback that he had 4 or 5 years worth of experience with. And not a running back that was running the ball downhill. I think if they run the ball down, like I'm talking about overly commit to running the football downhill, I think that game's different. I just do. I don't. That was their strength. That was our weakness. They were doing a good. They were doing a good job of it early on. Now, circumstances, the way the game played out, it was going to be hard to run the football in the second half. I get that, so not totally on him. But early in that game, in that first half, throwing the football on first and second down with Anthony Richardson was pointless when you had Jonathan Taylor in the back. So I look, and then you turn around. So you lose by playing. I mean, that was C ball from the Colts at best if you're a Colts fan. And you lost by 2 points, 29-27, right? I mean, you got to feel pretty good if you're the Colts that, hey, we're going to at least play better. I don't know if we're going to win. We're going to play better next time we play them. And then you lost to the Green Bay Packers 16-10. Granted, that was a Green Bay Packer team that didn't have Jordan Love, and that was a Green Bay Packer team that ran all over your defense again. But it's 2 weeks. I think the Colts are going to be significantly better by week eight than they were week one and two. And I'm going to ride with the Colts on this thing. I just – Anthony Richardson is going to be better. Shane Steichen is going to be better. The offense overall is going to be better. And I just can't believe that the defense is as bad as it's been in the first 2 weeks.
Hell, they just lost DeForest Buckner. He just went on the IR.
Well, they were bad without him, so hell with it. Bring in the next one.
They were bad with him is what I meant. I don't know if that's the way they go. Hell, they were bad. We sucked with them. I heard Gus Bradley say, we have got to come together as a group to stop the run. I see some people here on the text line roll through the Jags a couple of times there on the text line. Someone did agree with you. I say the Colts. Richardson is going to break loose eventually. I do think it's between the Colts and the Jags because Will Levis plays the game like he's just taking shots. Like, you know, sometimes you make plays.
Like you mean taking shots at the bar or like yeah, just taking
yeah,
shots?
Well, he takes shots at the bar and then leads him to take shots. I think, like, honest to God, there are some possessions I think he has hit tequila before walking out. Just hit it real quick, bam, hit the table and hit tequila. Yeah, well, he looks like it. He drinks coffee and puts mayonnaise in it. So I think he's a funky guy. So maybe you're right. Maybe he's over there just taking Everclear. But anyway, he plays like he's taking shots. You can depend on not just a dumb play, but like a take you out at the knees type play a game. Boy, or hey, two from him.
You're gonna find out about Jacksonville. They're 0-2, and they're staring down the pipe of Buffalo and Houston.
No, yeah, and they've played tight games. And tight games, I think they probably think they should have won. So I think it's between Jacksonville and Indy. And the thing about the Colts is you watch them, and I think it's clear to see they were close to you. And I think for them more than the Jags, I can see, boy, it's hard to think that they don't get better with their defense. It's hard to think their defense is going to be that bad. Even when it's hard to think that Gus Bradley and them and those guys won't put something together for them to be a bit better. And it's hard to think that Anthony Richardson, a guy you've talked about, just ain't played that many games. He's still under 20 games, I think, played since college. He's got to be close to it. If he's not, it's just 21. So it's hard to not sense that he won't get better either. So I think it's between those two, and I would lean towards the Colts because – I can clearly see places they'll get better. Trevor, I mean, I know he's got more talent than that, but I mean, we're year four now or something like that. Like at some point, you know, you're kind of close to what you are. So to me, I think it's between the Colts and the Jags, and I would lean towards the Colts like you.
Yeah, it's been bad for the Colts, but I'm not going to jump off that opinion yet. Not quite yet.
And like you said, I think Shane Steichen would love to have. I think he'd love to have back calls in that Packers game. I think he played that one weird.
I didn't watch that game, so I'm not real sure how.
I think he threw the ball too much in that game.
I'm not real sure how Malik Willis ends up. Wasn't that Malik Willis game?
Yeah.
I'm not real sure how Malik Willis gets you, but
I think he's about 10 of 12 for about 106 yards or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he ran for 60, and they ran for 261 as a whole. So tough one there. All right, Arch Manning gets his first start. As he is going to be in with an injured Quinn Ewers, you think there is anything Arch can do in this game that potentially would jeopardize Quinn's chances of getting back as a starter?
No, absolutely not. Look, there would have been had Quinn not had the game against Michigan that he had, then I would have a much different take. But right now, Quinn went on the road in the Big House against Michigan, the defending national champs, and had a Heisman Trophy type of coming out party. He's the leader of the pack. They won, 31-10. They won convincingly by three touchdowns.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Touchdowns.
Clint, even if he come out with another five touchdowns in this game.
Look, he should. He better. You're the number one team in the country. You're playing ULM.
Your first career start.
Yep, absolutely. That's what you did last week against UTSA. You went out there, threw the ball 12 times, completed 9 of them for 4 touchdowns, and ran it. You ought to come out against ULM, and he ought to have 4 touchdowns. He ought to have 300 yards. I'd be disappointed if he didn't, but I just don't think there's anything. Now, if there were other opponents, like if last week was a different opponent and he came in and he won a big-time conference game.
If he beat an SEC opponent.
If it was just an SEC, and then let's say they had Oklahoma this week and he went out there and played lights out and beat Oklahoma, then, yeah, I think we could possibly see, you know, Quinn.
So Quinn
not
plays against
shot.
Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
When Quinn's
healthy, he's going to be the starter for this football team. Absolutely.
I'll be honest with you. You said it earlier this week. I'm with you, man. I am excited. I'm excited to see Arch. A full week of practice.
Hell yeah.
He did that without knowing he was going to be the starter coming in 9-12 and did that. I mean,
usually the games like Texas versus ULM that I watch that I really get into, it's only because Arkansas is on the other side of the ball. I was going to have to watch this one because my bride is a Longhorn and she's going to watch it.
So I was going to
sit my ass over and watch it. But I got real excited when it was Arch Manning was going to get to start. So I want to see it. I'm anxious to see it. I imagine a good bit of the country, college football fans, most of them are anxious to watch this football game to see what Arch is all about, man. I mean, you got a guy with potentially the mind of Peyton Manning, with obviously a Manning arm and the athletic ability of his granddad. Yeah, I mean,
speed that is not his uncle and his two uncles.
And I'm gonna tell you, he's put together too now.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not one of them tall drink of waters that's thin. And I mean, now he is built well. He moves extremely well. I watched his highlight films in high school when he first came out. I've never been I've never thought like his arm was that talented or he had this, whether we're talking about talent or we're talking about arm strength. Like I've never watched him and been like, yeah, this is one of those freaks that has just a crazy arm. I still think he's got a little funky delivery where he pushes it, but it's enough to play at the NFL level, make all the throws, so he's going to be fine. But I'm telling you, man, it's impressive to watch.
Yep. All right, coming up, it is Kikuchi night. So
who?
Kikuchi. It is, you say Kikuchi. It is Kikuchi.
I love Kikuchi!
That's right. He's on the bump tonight. We'll get you ready for the Astros and Angels. By the way, the Mariners are leading right now against the Yankees as they sit 4.5 back. We'll get you set up for the official injury report is out now. The official injury report is out now. We'll get you the Texans and the Vikings on this and get you ready for this big Thursday night football game that you can come right out here. Come right out here and watch at this Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's remodeled.
It is.
It's remodeled right
it
here.
It is. It is. It is.
It's done right.
You know, we had been out here.
Hey, you know what she mentioned when I asked her about the remodel?
I said,
take me down a list of, you know, like, what? I understand you remodel because something's old. You want it new. But, like, what were the goals here? What'd y'all do? And she said, well, we wanted to open up this wall here so the dining room and the bar were kind of more one, and we didn't want to have carpet in the dining area because it's easier to clean. We wanted this back wall over here by the TVs to be black and more sports bar-like. Guess what she hit me with next?
What?
We wanted them old lights you can dim and that make it like a lounge, real cool effect in the evening with these TVs.
That's what they like to do. That's what they like to do.
I told you I was on to something. The first couple years ago, first time we came in Buffalo Wild Wings, I said, man, this has got that lounge lighting going on.
Come on, hang out with us. Hang out with us, a little sexy lounge lighting. Hang out with us as we continue right here on The Drive.